Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I am so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Now you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources we talk about, and any of the free downloads that I mention. There are a lot of exciting things happening here this summer. New webinars, a new book, and a chance to join me and become a member of my Easy EdTech Club. Make sure to get on my newsletter list to get free resources in your inbox each week and so you don't miss a thing. Just go to classtechtips.com/newsletter for all of the details. Today's episode is all about audio and video and the role it plays in the classroom. I'm excited to have the VP of Sales and Marketing for Hall Technologies, Hal Truax, join in today. I first partnered with the folks at Hall Technology to feature their Hive Control on my blog earlier this year, and I'm very excited to have Hal's perspective and experience showcased in today's episode. AV technology has come a long way from rolling a cart with a television strapped on top into your classroom. From supporting students with IEPs who require captions to access audio and video content, to giving English language learners access to libraries of course content for on-demand replays, there are lots of reasons to review your goals for AV technology for the upcoming school year. Let's jump into this conversation with Hal about the role of audio and video in both remote and physical classrooms. Welcome, Hal. I am so excited to have you on the podcast today for this special bonus episode. I want to jump right in and would love to have you introduce yourself and tell a little bit about how Hall Technologies fits into the everyday classroom.
Perfect. So I'm Hal Truax. I'm VP of Sales and Marketing with Hall Technologies. And Hall Technologies has introduced a new suite of products that addresses first and foremost the education space and what we try to call, or what we do call, the three states of education, meaning all in classroom, hybrid classrooms, or 100% distance learning, because I think that's what we've been faced with over this last year or year and a half. And so we've got some cloud-based architecture that simplifies the operation of the technology in a classroom. That's basically it in a nutshell. We try to make it easier and more affordable, actually, for schools, not just higher ed, but for K-12.
Wonderful. And yeah, I mean, when we are talking here on the podcast, it's all about making ed tech easier. And I think when I first came across all that you have to offer earlier this year, it definitely fits underneath that category or umbrella of simplifying some of the systems that schools might adopt.
Sure. Yeah, well, that's our goal for sure, is to remove some of the anxiety around the technology and really facilitate and let the teachers and educators do what they do best and what they're passionate about. It's really engaging with the students and having effective lesson plans.
Yeah, I love that idea of just removing some of the barriers and some of the obstacles that might come into play. And, you know, we know this year, and you alluded to the different types of environments that you work within and address. And this year, audio and video has played a major role in remote and hybrid learning, which is probably an understatement, just saying it so simply. And before we talk about the future, the upcoming school year, I'd love to hear a little bit about what can you share about what you've seen or learned from this year?
So that's a great question, and we've learned a lot, we think. We know that the learning environment has undergone a massive transition, you know, transformation. The whole pedagogy has changed completely from what it was a year and a half ago. And as a result of that, we've seen that student engagement, you know, we're hearing that it's really at an all-time low, and that grades are dropping and the challenge is really interfacing and seeing engaged with the students and giving students that one-on-one type of feel when they're not in the classroom. I think that's the toughest challenge. And the technology should be able to help with that instead of hinder that. And depending on all the variables centric to technology, I think we can do that effectively. And we've learned a lot, not just Hall Technologies, but the industry, the AV industry has learned a lot in the last year and a half to help education, help the teachers do a better job.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this year, especially, or 16 months or so, right, that we've been thinking about remote and hybrid learning so differently than what we might have done in a traditional face-to-face classroom in the past. You know, audio and video has just played such an important role in bridging that physical gap, if you will. So I really like what you said about just the one-to-one or the kind of personal feel that we're trying to maintain, even when students are learning at a distance. And you know, as we move into this upcoming school year and many schools are preparing for a return to face-to-face instruction, I know in the state where I live, there's already been the commitment made that that's going to be the primary mode of instruction moving forward. And in so many other places, that is what people are planning for. You know, it's going to be a very different role for audio and video if we think about all the video conferencing and things that were happening at a distance this past year. What role is audio and video going to play when we're back in a traditional classroom?
Well, so I think that AV is here to stay in the classroom. There's technology that's going to be utilized, or at least in place from here on out in all the different classrooms, regardless of primary education or higher education. And what really needs to happen, I guess, is the classroom at the flip of a switch needs to be able to facilitate 100% in-class experience. And if there's another pandemic, natural disaster, what traditionally was called a snow day previously, if any of those things happen with the flip of a switch, the classroom needs to be transformed into either a hybrid environment or a distance learning environment. I think that's necessary. You know, I've seen a lot of messaging about getting back into the classroom and getting that socialization again and that one-on-one experience that everybody is longing for. But I don't know that that's going to happen across the U.S. Different states have different rules. And also you have to take into account the comfort level of the parents letting their children go back into class. You know, and there was a big study done with LA Unified School District. And basically, somewhere between, depending on the grade level, somewhere between 25 and 50% of the parents said that they wouldn't feel comfortable at any point having their children back in the physical classroom. So I think the audio, video, and the flexibility of the system is here for the long term.
Yeah, you know, as much as schools may be offering, right, that in-person component, right, that ability to make a switch, like you said, to something that is more remote or hybrid. I know I've worked with schools where they've been closed for a couple weeks because there's been a weather event, right? And so they can't get to the building because the building needs this and that, or, you know, something's happened within the community where that idea of connecting at a distance might feel much more natural, you know, this fall than if they were, you know, just getting this weather disruption a couple years ago. And so, you know, that opportunity for parents to choose or opt into something virtual, just like you mentioned about LA Unified, I know that there are a lot of conversations that districts are having around preparing for the families that may ask for or request to do more of a virtual academy, you know, or virtual model. And I'm curious, have you seen some of those conversations starting where, you know, a virtual academy might be streaming in something, or there may be something kind of going on that has a little bit of a concurrent, you know, in addition to that hybrid model?
Yeah, there's been a lot more conversations about that and that streaming component. And that term virtual academy has been used a lot more prevalently in the conversations that we've been having. And so, you know, the option to have that flexibility to be able to stream those lessons, more importantly, maybe streaming those lessons on demand. You know, even if it's temporary, a family takes a vacation and they're gone for a week or 2 weeks. Traditionally, those vacations had to take place during the summer when school wasn't in session. And that's not always convenient, especially if somebody wants to take a snow trip or something and go skiing. they want to be able to still have their students get, you know, their children get educated. So having that on-demand and streaming capability is really important, both from the virtual academy kind of mindset and also incorporating on-demand learning when the students are available or when they get back from vacation so they can be up to speed. So I think that that's really prevalent in today's EDU discussion.
Yeah, that idea of flexibility can mean so many different things, right? From families making certain decisions about where their children might be learning from or where they might physically be, right, in a geographic setting. I know this year has been such a struggle for many families to find a place for their children to learn remotely, whether it's with a family member in another part of town, if they're working from home, or if it's families that might decide to opt into that virtual academy that some districts offered. Like you mentioned, I think that that word flexibility with all the things that we're thinking about for the fall or for the back to school season is definitely something that's, you know, coming up in my conversations too. And, you know, you mentioned how there's been such a shift in what we might think of with AV, right, or audio and visual technology in a classroom setting. And what is something that educators might find surprising about audio or video in the classroom? Something that maybe doesn't seem as obvious as a consideration for using AV technology and might surprise them.
Right. So I think the AV technology that's evolving today is much different than what educators perceived as technology in the classroom just a couple of years ago. You know, a lot of schools went through refreshes only a couple of years ago, only to find that the technology didn't have the flexibility or the agility to work in this distance learning environment. So today, I think that we're able to incorporate audio video into a classroom in kind of a seamless manner without much professional development. In the past, the teachers and the faculty have had to have a lot of professional development, sometimes offsite and arduous learning curves. We figured out, a lot of companies and a lot of integrators have figured out how to insert the audio video system kind of seamlessly into the classroom to where the teachers almost don't know that it's there. With it, you know, if we can do activity-based control, something as simple as turn on the class, or even better than that, walk into a classroom, the lights go on, the projector goes on, and certain things, it goes to this URL and kind of seamlessly. So there's not a big learning curve. So in fact, a substitute teacher from out of the district could come into the classroom and get up to speed with the technology. I think that that's what teachers are not expecting. They're not expecting to have it be effortless and seamless and more filled with anxiety and apprehension. And I think we're going to see this year and evolving year after year, this becoming just molded into the classroom and barely noticeable.
That's such a great point, Hal, just about how, you know, some of these pieces are a lot less intimidating than I think they might have been 5 or 10 or 15 years ago. I like to think of myself as being pretty tech savvy, but I will, you know, when I was traveling to lots of different schools and different districts, you know, you walk into a space and things might look a little bit overwhelming, right? Where are you plugging in? Where are you jumping into? And you mentioned that idea of a substitute from out of the district being able to walk in and just be ready to go. And so I think that's something that's really important to kind of just hammer that point down for folks that, you know, it might not be quite as intimidating as it might have felt in the past. And, you know, I'm curious if you can share a little bit about the different types of AV technology that would be underneath sure. that umbrella.
Sure, sure. You know, we take into consideration that there's different styles of teaching. Not everybody teaches in the same manner. And there's also different styles of learning. You know, some students are more auditory, some people are more visual, and some of the students require repetition. And that's where this kind of lecture capture stuff where they can go over the lesson at their own speed, that helps them. So we have to take into account different teaching styles and different learning styles as well. So, you know, some of the technology now, when a teacher walks into a classroom and they start with their lesson plan, we have cameras that can follow the teacher around the classroom. So they're always center of frame. We have devices that actually let this teacher can stand in front of the lesson board and not block the screen. You know, they had to be cognizant before if there was a whiteboard or a Promethean type of panel or something, not being in the way of that. We've figured out how to overcome those types of obstacles. And even to the point where some of the other cameras in a room, if there's multiple cameras, if the student's in a room or if a student is even remote, there's some gesture-based technology that lets people raise their hands and lets the camera follow to them or lets their own device be front and center in the framework. So to make it seem like it's more of an immersive experience. And it used to be anybody remote felt like they were left out of the environment. And we've done a lot better job with making those people feel included and immersed in that experience. And the technology is getting better and better. And the good news is, as the technology gets better and becomes more prevalent, it's becoming more affordable and less of a sticker shock for the districts.
Yeah, and just all the, you know, again, coming back to that idea of flexibility of all the different types of instructional models and different delivery models. I mean, this year, it goes without saying, has been extremely difficult with a switch from remote to hybrid to in-person and kind of going in all of those directions, almost circular at times in different schools and districts. So lots of evolving models there. And, you know, you alluded to it with the mention about the lecture capture software or having a teacher be able to move around a space and not block things and everything's there ready for a student to replay or access on demand a little bit later. Are there any other solutions out there that are, you know, user-friendly and that might address some of these, you know, different classroom scenarios?
Yeah, for sure. So for instance, Hall Technologies, not, you know, we've developed a platform called Hive Control, and it's a cloud-based architecture. And what we've tried to do with this is make it a very intuitive user interface and taken a lot of the technology out of the classroom and have it hosted up in the cloud. But it's really simple. Everybody's comfortable with tablets now, whether it's an iPad or an Android tablet or whatever. And we have this user interface where a teacher can without any apprehension, can seamlessly select what they're going to do, whether that's watch a movie, whether that's go to the chalkboard. Whatever it is, it's just super intuitive and super seamless. And what's cool about it, if the technology is hosted in the cloud, it makes it infinitely scalable. So if you're in a district that has a suite of classrooms and those classrooms are configured similarly, you can have one tablet control all these classrooms. Multiple tablets, but it's the same architecture. You also have the ability, if it's cloud-based, to have the IT administrator or somebody in facilities look at this dashboard and tell that everything's working correctly. And you can even implement AI into some of these things so to help the IT people keep an eye on the peripheral equipment in there. If the projector lamp has been on 2,000 hours and it's got 80 hours left, they can tell that from a dashboard. And when there's no class in session, they can go swap that out and minimize downtime and maximize, you know, the efficacy in which people teach. So I think that this cloud-based architecture is really cool, and it lets a district control a whole district. You can control campuses all over the world. If it's higher ed and there's 12 campuses, they can see what's going on. They can control all that stuff from a central location. So that's pretty exciting technology.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just the idea of having things ready to be supported by district level or school level personnel, in addition to what might happen in an individual classroom, is just really powerful to think about how seamless that is and really how far that technology has come in a pretty short amount of time to make something like that happen. And, you know, you mentioned some of the kind of cloud-based management pieces that go along with that work. And, you know, this is a year where I know just from my conversations with educators, you know, kids and teachers have just been inundated by different apps and cloud-based, you know, teaching methodologies. There's a lot out there. I am often using that phrase, tasks before apps, right, as this reminder to really put the learning front and center as we make decisions about technology integration. And I'm curious, you know, do you see this inundation of different resources, different tools continuing, you know, through this back to school season? And, you know, and if so, right, how will AV really address this proliferation of different apps.
Yeah, I believe this app-based mentality and the, you know, the proliferation and the abundancy of new apps to try to help with the process, I think that's here for the long term. The education has come front and center into the limelight, at least in the technology world, and also in the world of the parents and seeing the students struggle and so forth. So I think us in the manufacturers world in AV have had to accelerate how quickly we develop the equipment to be that's adopted and efficiently used. So you mentioned that we're moving rapidly, and we are doing that, reacting to the situation. But the more these apps come in, and districts are adopting certain apps and seeing that other apps that are not going to use, right? And mm-hmm. So there's some of that. And what's cool about a cloud-based platform is, say there's a handful of apps, half a dozen apps that the district has approved, and you're going to use that in your classroom. In some of these cloud-based operating systems, the students can stay in that platform and open these apps in that platform. They don't have to leave and go to something else, and the instructor doesn't have to do this either. And I think that's important to stay within the platform. It's kind of like looking at something on a web page, and then you exit the web page to see whatever it is. And a lot of people, it's not the most user-friendly experience. So if we can keep everything operating within the same platform, it becomes more seamless. And I know I use that word a lot, but I think that's important to be able to go from an app to a chalkboard or a whiteboard and go to a URL, a YouTube video, and do all that stuff very seamlessly, so there's no lag or no latency when you're going from one stream of teaching to another. So yeah, I think it's here to stay, and I think that we're learning how to work better with it. And we didn't really discuss the BYOD scenario, right? Which is, there's a lot of that today, right? Everybody's got a computer and a tablet, and the kids at home are learning on their devices. But sometimes in the classroom, there's a BYOD a kind of initiative due to maybe they only want to touch their own device. People don't want to share a touch screen in this new world. So we're figuring out how to incorporate that better into the environment, you know, because BYOD was a buzz term for a long time, you know, bring your own device. And then it became perceived as, you know, bring your own disaster. And it's really challenging to figure how to incorporate all that stuff so it works and it's synergistically positive versus distractions and the hiccups in the technology. And I think we've come a long way to making that happen for the educators.
Yeah, and the BYOD or bring your own device model is such a good example to bring into this conversation. You know, as you're talking about being flexible with AV technology, the seamlessness of just the integration and introducing different types of systems into a school, you know, I think it's really about, and you came back to this word seamless a few different times, because I do completely agree with you. It's about removing those obstacles, removing those barriers, which can just have an impact in so many ways, right? Just getting kids online, having them easily access content, even just the classroom management challenges that come when something isn't quite working or you have to, you know, work through a tech problem. And so I think that idea of making things seamless and just quick and easy and addressing some of those issues that might've been AV challenges in the past, it's just been so interesting to hear about, you know, what you've seen in the remote or hybrid models this past year and what things can look like in an in-person or face-to-face environment that so many schools are either going to keep up like they were doing this spring as they move into the fall, or that they're jumping back into for the first time after a long period of remote learning. And so how I'd love to hear from you just before we finish up here, where's the best place for people to go to just learn more about your work, about these AV solutions? Where can they go to find out more information?
Well, sure. So our website is a great source of information, and that's www.halltechav.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time today and for your insight. I really appreciate you sharing with listeners here on the Easy EdTech podcast.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. And we think it's really important to talk about this technology and to make it easier for everybody to use. So I appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It was so wonderful to have Hal on the podcast today, and I loved hearing his perspective on AV and all of the things we need to keep in mind for audio and video use in the upcoming school year. Let's finish up the episode, like we always do, by making this EdTech easy. First, identify why being flexible is important this year. Next, review your current AV technologies. Then, determine what AV obstacles you currently face. Finally, make a plan for audio and video use. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode on classtechtips.com/podcast, including all of the ways to connect with the team at Hall Technologies. There are a lot of exciting things happening here this summer. New webinars, a new book, and a chance to join me and become a member of my Easy EdTech Club. Make sure to get on my newsletter list to get free resources in your inbox each week and so you don't miss a thing. Just go to classtechtips.com/newsletter for all of the details, or send me a DM on Instagram @classtechtips and tell me you want the newsletter link, and I'll make sure to send it right back to you. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. Check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech podcast wherever you're listening.